Well, hello there, and welcome back to yet another episode of the Listening Well podcast, a space where I explore different avenues of wellness with the aim to untangle the moments of chaos we experience, so that hopefully we can live our lives with a little more clarity and wholeness. I'm your host, Stephanie Bovis, and if you're new to this podcast, welcome. I am so happy to have you here. And if you're a returning listener, well, what's up? You know how we do it on this podcast. This is a passion project that has been so important for my own well-being and mental health journey, and I absolutely love creating content where I share my own musings, I speak to beautiful souls and experts who can share with you their nugget or two of wisdom or advice that hopefully you can relate to. If you'd like to show your support, you can do so in a number of ways. You can give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you're listening from. I've also set up a Patreon to help with this support. So if you would like to become one of my wellness warriors, I have attached the link in the show notes. You can subscribe and have access to over 70 recorded meditations for free that you can access through my website via a protected password. I offer these podcasts freely, and your support will really help in allowing this project to flourish and hopefully thrive. In this episode, I will be talking about the ways that I mitigate the wrath of unmotivation. I think I can confidently say that as part of the human experience, sometimes we all go through a funk. You know, that deep, all-consuming, unmotivating funk that makes our bed feel like this retreat, this oasis or a refuge, you know, when you just can't get out of bed and you don't want to. And honestly, sometimes we do have to honor that funk. Perhaps it's your body that's telling you that it's on overdrive, that it's stressed out and needs rest. But sometimes we know in our gut, in our core, that by getting our butts out of bed and going to that HIIT practice, going to that Pilates class, that yoga class, that will in fact make us feel better, both on a physical and mental plane. Lately, I've been reflecting on the idea of going against the grain when your mind interjects and tells you that it doesn't want to get up and go. That keeps you in this loop of stagnation in a way. Sometimes it's okay to not feel okay. I think it's important to honor those low moments as well and respect them. Right? Sometimes we stick too much to a fitness goal or a nutrition plan so that when we fall off the bandwagon, it builds this unhealthy relationship to fitness and nutrition. You know, so instead of sticking to the goal of training every single day, sometimes we have to tune inwards and listen. Is this what we need? Especially for my lady friends out there, we are cyclical beings. Are we living and honoring our cycles? Are we giving ourselves the correct movement nutrition that can support us in whatever place we are on that cycle? Because I'm guilty of this. I used to be a fitness junkie. I would feel so much guilt and shame whenever I would miss a workout or if I wasn't performing as I did last week or whatever, like that metric for comparison was so ingrained. And of course, social media doesn't help with this comparison complex, right? When we see our friends every day training without fail, doing, you know, no pain, no gain. This also doesn't really help with this comparison complex, but you know, I always think that if we paid as much attention to our own well-being as we do on others, wow. I mean, we would see so much progress in our lives. There would be a deeply innate sense of love and compassion and attention for ourselves. You know, we tend to place so much attention on other people. Like, why? by giving your mind, body, and spirit what it needs on any given day. And this starts with first tuning in, right? Perhaps in your morning meditation, literally inquire, okay, what am I feeling today? How are my battery levels in my body? What does my body need? Just like we give ourselves nutrition through food to sustain us, we also can decide what movement nutrition that will support our bodies on any given day. And I think that by honoring this, this is an act of true embodiment. Sometimes we need to give ourselves permission to rest. How many of you guys have felt this sense of like relief almost when you wake up and you go, ah, you know what? Today, my body just wants to rest. It just wants to go on perhaps a light walk, doesn't want to do anything intense. And there's this sense of like acceptance and just owning it. And it's supportive. This is also good for you, right? Sometimes we have to recover and recharge so that we can better show up for the world, for our families, for our friends, for our colleagues. So really honoring what we need happens when we first tune in, when we take stock of how we're feeling on any given day, because every day is a new day. I'm a huge advocate for rest. I think I've talked about it on this podcast quite frequently. But lately, I have found myself resting a bit too much. I literally hear my mind going, you know, you can skip the training today. You got tomorrow. That's fine. What's another day, right? You know, and obviously I've been through a few transitions in my life. So maybe this transition needed a little more rest, a little more recuperation. But I have found myself saying that I need rest more than I think I should. It's different if I wake up sore and stiff from a workout from the previous day and I can feel that my muscles are in recovery mode. That's different because in that situation, yeah, okay, I'll rest or I'll go for a light or brisk walk. Maybe I'll do a yin class just to help in the recovery process. But either way, I'm doing something, right? I'm doing something. Just because you're not smashing it at the gym doesn't mean that you're not benefiting in other ways. Okay, but this is beside the point. I digress a little. What I was saying was that my mind lately has been going, meh, Steph, what's one more day of rest? You know, you obviously don't want to get out of bed and do things. So why not start this new show on Netflix and just stay miserable? So when that voice was getting louder and louder in my head, I knew that something had to change. I needed to reframe my self-talk and I needed to send myself on a whole other trajectory. And this is where I try to digress off the path of unmotivation. To get out of this vicious cycle, right, that keeps me in this loop of low energy, I know to my core that my quality of life and peace of mind will not improve by not moving or not going to my meditation practice or not going out for that walk and getting sunlight in my eyes, right? I know this. And by knowing this, I have to honor this mental fortitude that is so easily able to just slip away because you know what's right for your overall well-being, for your overall vitality. We need to not only train our bodies, but also maintain the health of our mentality, of our spirit. When our spirit is damp and foggy and soggy, it really impacts us. It impacts in other ways that might not be as noticeable. Things like self-esteem, right? Motivation or confidence to do the projects that you're doing. We need to be disciplined when it comes to mitigating this wrath of unmotivation. We need to decide and get out of bed and do what is best for you, because it is so easy to fall off the bandwagon. It is so easy. Sometimes getting back on requires you to do some things that you really don't want to do. I think of that common saying amongst fitness influencers, day one, not one day. So here are some ways that I mitigate unmotivation. One way to get out of the funk is just to start small. Again, put your ego down. Just be gentle to yourself. Go for a simple walk. Even 10 minutes can set the gears in motion. And if you don't want to attend a full 1 hour yoga class, you don't want to be around the energy of other people, find a 20 minute practice online and do that. There's so many resources out there. Take advantage of them. People have put in time and effort to share with you their gifts. And if you are quite a lone wolf like me and you are very sensitive to other people's energy and would prefer to be alone, I would say do this. Set up a sacred space in your house, light a candle, light an incense, and do this shortened practice on your own. If you tune into your body and ask yourself, what does my body need right now? Perhaps you feel tightness in your back. Maybe your middle or lower back feels a little strained. The hips feel a bit tight. I would pick a practice online that targets specifically that area first. So start small and then build up from there. If you have been in a slump for some time, go slow. The other week, I took 3 weeks off training, and you know, I came back with a vengeance, right? I was traveling, I was visiting my mom, and then I came back and I went, oh my gosh, I feel so just not flowing and blood is not circulating through my body right now. I'm going to smash this HIIT workout. But in doing so, when my ego got involved and my pride was like, I'm going to just do this, I'm going to smash it, I actually strained my shoulder and found myself not able to do anything for days after, which only added to my frustration, right? So just leave your ego out of the equation when you're coming back into your movement practice, when you're coming back out of your funk, and try not to do too much too soon, too fast. So pace yourself. Be gentle with yourself, my friend. And because once you start small and then slowly add intensity, you'll become stronger. You'll become stronger. So just be kind to yourself. What helps me sometimes when I'm feeling completely unmotivated and I'm in a funk is to think of the past. Okay, this is one time where I actually think of the past and pull myself out of the present moment of misery, because I think about that moment that I felt after a great workout or an amazing hot yoga class. You know, that glow on your face from the increased circulation, the endorphins and the happy hormones streaming through, making me feel alive and awake. The alertness in my mind that I have after a workout session, and this alertness then carries on to my other projects. It's so palpable. When I visualize the positive impact of a workout that is already passed and has happened already, it gives me more motivation to get up and start moving. I felt this many times before. When I go to even a slow yin class or a meditation practice or even a sound healing immersion where literally all I have to do is lay there, receive them good vibrations, I always leave feeling like, damn, I'm really, really glad I did that. Because this is science. This is not new information, people. Exercise, movement works. It makes you feel better. Fact. Undeniable. And if you truly believe this, if you embody this belief, it will help you out of this funk that you may be experiencing at this time, because it'll urge you to get off your butt and get moving. So this is one way, looking into the past and all the times that you've felt those amazing benefits of exercise. But it's also good to look into the future. Remember your goals. Do you even have any? If you don't, I would suggest writing them down on a post-it, maybe placing it on a mirror or somewhere that is visible, maybe your work desk or your bathroom, so that you can keep yourself accountable. This will help with your discipline muscle and keep your goals realistic. For example, I love goals such as, you know, by the end of the year, I want to be able to do 5 full push-ups where I'm off my knees. Or by the end of the year, I want to be able to do 1 full pull-up. I am not a fan of numbers when it comes to goals. For example, I want to lose X amount of kilos by the end of the year, because muscle weighs more than fat. People are actually surprised when I tell them how much I weigh. I weigh a lot, and I may not look like the weight that I am, but I do know that I have a lot of muscle mass. My bones are probably very heavy as well. So instead of using kilos as a goal, one way that you can set a goal is to set something abstract, like by the end of the year, I want to fit into these pants, pair of jeans that I could wear 3 years ago, but I can't wear now. I feel like those goals are a bit more kind, and don't get into your head and spark that obsessiveness that happens when we think of kilos and calories, you know? Being attached to your weighing scale is, in my mind, a detriment. Being attached to the number of calories you consume every day is also enforcing this unhealthy attachment to food. Because think about it, right? 200 calories of broccoli is completely different and will affect your body mass in an entirely different way than if you had 200 calories of banana cake, for example, right? Even though right now that I'm thinking about it, 200 calories of banana cake sounds pretty darn good right now, I won't lie, and sounds way better than having 200 calories of broccoli, but that's beside the point. So yeah, set yourself some realistic goals that aren't too engrossed in numbers. Another way that I mitigate unmotivation is to psych yourself up. Psych yourself up before you do a movement practice. Music is so powerful. Play a tune that you find inspiring and uplifting, and dance around the room like no one's watching. Dancing is so underrated, and it doesn't have to be done at a specific time at night, under the influence, in the confines of a club. The active meditations that I teach have so much dancing, this mindful movement called Latihan, where you just allow the intuition of your body to move you. Dancing elevates your spirit. It just does. Because your blood and energy is circulating through the system. You're opening through the joints, so that this can also be kind of considered like a warm-up. I think that we underestimate the power of dancing, and more of us need to do this to really bring the aliveness back in, to increase the energy in our bodies and help with this motivation to get going and doing other practices. As I talked about in my fascinating fascia episode, motion is lotion, so get moving. For some people, maintaining a healthy habit requires enforcing a reward system. For example, if you've trained that day, then maybe you will decide to eat a carb-heavy pasta that will be on the menu for dinner tonight, one that you probably would feel guilty eating if you hadn't trained that day. Maybe you don't need those extra carbs and calories, but if you've hit your goals for the day, then reward yourself a little treat. Maybe you want to invest and spend money on a foot massage after a good week's worth of exercise. Reward yourself, because habit formation is more likely to happen if you repeat a behavior in a consistent and stable manner, right? So if you assign the behavior with some sort of pleasurable reward, maybe this will keep you going. And it's proven in science. Scientists have found that having some sort of reward system moderates the relationship between repetition and habit formation. Because let's be honest, I struggle with discipline sometimes. But maybe if we insert a cue, for example, maybe after 10, 20-minute HIIT workout practices this month, then I will buy my favorite pair of sneakers. Or I will reward myself to a cocktail tonight or a massage, right? If you treat yourself when you've reached a specific goal that you've set out, it will help with this motivation that you seek, because you deserve it, boo, no matter what. One way that I have found so helpful in keeping me in check, keeping me aligned, is to have an accountability buddy. It's cute, right? Having an accountability buddy. It's a fantastic way to keep yourself in check. Asking a friend to go on a hike once a week or a walk at a specific time or a recurring time is great. Actually, my housemate and I have this thing where we have both put on our calendars every Friday morning a walk through the Green Corridor path here in Singapore. And we have it in our calendars. And so that on Friday mornings, we'll wake up at 7, we'll go for that walk. Obviously, if we've done something Thursday night or we're feeling a little sleep deprived, we may skip it altogether or perhaps we'll go alone. But just having that on our calendars as a reminder, it gets embedded in our psyche, and you know, you question it. You go, okay, well, tomorrow I was supposed to be going out for a walk, for some nature time, for a good 5K walk. It just keeps us in check, even if we don't follow through with it. So even if we don't go in the morning, something inside us will go, well, maybe we'll go walk in the evening instead, or attend a class that day to replace the intention of a walk. It helps to have a friend to keep you in check because, you know, life isn't supposed to be lived alone. If you need help, and in this case, it's the help for staying motivated, ask for it. You aren't a weak person if you're in a funk in that moment. Life happens. I went through a pretty big life change recently and had to find my footing, and it took some time. But for a couple weeks, I was not feeling myself for a while. And looking back, I'm like, okay, that's okay. But then it comes to a point that you've honored that rest long enough and you find yourself entering into the realm of laziness. That's when you have to go, okay, enough is enough. Now I need to spark the life back within me. I need to reframe my mindset and make the necessary changes so that I can grow from this, so that I can thrive, so that I can flourish as a human being. Because once you get started and stay consistent, you will find that the muscle of motivation will keep yourself on track again. And, you know, we fall off the bandwagon every now and then. It's okay. Life can throw some really big, unexpected curveballs that shift your priorities completely. But the more times you pick yourself up when you're feeling down, when you reignite the spark of motivation that's within you, When you create and become familiar with a method that takes you out of the vicious loop of low, stagnant energy, the easier it will become to get on track in those moments that you've fallen off. I'd like to reiterate again that rest is just as important, and it is important to listen to your bodies. Ladies, when you're on your moon cycle, honor it. Your body is going through a crazy shedding process that requires rest and maybe more gentle practices. So honor your body. But when your body is telling you that it would feel better if it were to move, that sweating, that having an increase in endorphins would make you feel better, this is when you can use these tools to re-spark motivation once again within you. Well, that's all from me. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Thanks so much for listening well. Once again, you can support this podcast in a number of ways. You can give us a 5-star rating, become a wellness warrior through Patreon. The link is in the show notes. Please go there. If you have a small donation to spare, it really helps this podcast stay alive and just shows your support. Otherwise, you can follow us on Instagram at Listening Well Podcast or get in touch with me through our website at listeningwellpodcast.com. Well, friends, stay as happy as you can be, and I'll see you next Tuesday for yet another episode.